All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off. And believe me, there are a lot of them. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan, Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for governor of Texas. And today I have Connor Drygotis, who is the director of communications at a national law firm and an adjunct professor at Lehigh University, where he teaches business communications. This should be a very interesting talk. I've already heard really great things about some juicy information about how to work for liberty. We'll get into that in just a minute. But of course, before we get started, if you're watching the live streams, please remember to like and share and comment during the show. That's right. Ask your questions. Tell us how you feel. Tell us about your feelings. And of course, while you're listening, grab your laptop and go over to taxationistheft.info. And order some stuff. Support the show. Get an awesome t-shirt or a hat or a flag or stamp all your money with Taxation is Theft with this awesome stamp that we've got. We've got all kinds of cool toys over there. And head over to our YouTube channel and make sure to subscribe over there. We've got a lot of extra content that you won't hear on this show. So make sure you head on over there and subscribe and watch all our videos and like and share and do all that cool stuff. I want to remind you guys... It's important to share. It's extremely important to share, more so than anywhere else, because most of these guys, you've probably heard about this, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all these guys are censoring this type of content. So the stuff you're going to hear on this show, if you don't help to share it, it's going to be really difficult for this information to get out there. And of course, this information is part of the revolution. So if you want to live in a free country, well... It's not enough to just listen to this. You got to share. You got to get everybody else involved. You got to get your friends to become listeners and follow this information. And now, on to the show. Connor, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a good day. How are you?
Absolutely. It is a good day. Every time I hear that, I'm like, it's a good day to die.
You get What a brutal way to start the show then. Sorry. That's good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's always you know where that comes from, right? From the Klingon. It's like an ancient Klingon ancient Klingon thing. It's a good day to die. It's like the carpe diem of the Klingon world.
So I like it. I like it. Cool. It's you know what? Keeps it fresh. They live like you're going to die tomorrow, plan like you're going to live forever, something like that. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
Exactly. So, awesome. So, Zach introduced us and he was talking about this book that you've got more than the book, he was talking about the conversation that you guys had, which is really interesting because I know a lot of people in the liberty movement we're always like, okay, I'm working. I want to volunteer. I want to do things to advance liberty, but I still got to pay my bills and I hate this job. But I'd rather be doing something to spread liberty, but there's no money in that because it's all volunteers. Like it's just like this paradox that we have to live in. Like we're screwed either way. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. But apparently you have a really interesting strategy for finding jobs and finding ways that you can earn a living spreading liberty. And I think that's really interesting. And just so everybody listening to this show or watching this show knows, I do not make a living on this show. I think I'm up to making like 10 bucks a month on YouTube with revenue on this. We make a few bucks from the Taxation is Theft store. And of course we take all that money and we throw it back into advertising campaigns to spread information. So I don't get to take anything out of my second job of distributing Taxation is Theft counter propaganda around the world. Unfortunately, I still have to maintain my day job for that. So I'm really interested in hearing this too, because maybe I can quit my day job and my other second first job can be more liberty oriented.
I can't tell you how happy I would be if that was the result of this show. Like, just let's get you in a place. Really, that is the paradox, as you put it, that I want to really put a nail in the coffin of that idea that you can't work for liberty. I would say I am an example. I work for liberty full time, and I know hundreds of people who work for liberty full time, and they're making great livings. People are making six-figure salaries, and they're out there fighting for their principles. They're fighting for what they actually care about. So if your listeners are out there, if you are in that situation and you're thinking, oh man, I don't know how to do this, you're in the right place. We're going to get this taken care of for you right now. And hopefully put some tools in your tool belt to make that a reality.
Awesome. So, I mean, let's dive in. What's the secret?
It's good. I guess the easiest way to do this is going to be to start in how I kind of stumbled into this. Is that helpful for your audience?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, one of the things that, especially now in 2020, that's happening is people are struggling. People are going through a tremendously difficult time, even if you are employed. And then there's also a whole segment of the population among those who care about liberty and generally who don't have a job. And like all great things, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And the Work for Liberty book and the Work for Liberty community is something that came out of a tremendously difficult time in my own life back in 2017, actually. I was working in a sales job that I did not particularly enjoy. I was knocking on doors. I was doing 200 cold calls a week, and I wasn't happy. Like you said, right? I was volunteering for liberty. I was working on campaigns. I was spending my free time trying to fight for principles. But so many people, you know, you got to pay the bills, and volunteer opportunities are often the first thing to go. But in this job, I suddenly was laid off. I found myself completely unemployed, and I made a promise to myself. I did take it in the moment as an opportunity to say, you know, how am I going to turn this into something better? And I said, I am never going to take another job again that doesn't pursue liberty, that doesn't pursue my principles and what I care about. And I think I was a little over-optimistic, right? In the beginning, I said, hey, you know, this will be good. I'll jump on LinkedIn. I'll look at Indeed, and I'm going to find a job. It'll be a few weeks. The reality was I spent 6 months living off my savings. I had a mortgage, still have a mortgage that I'm paying off. And at that point, I was paying that mortgage out of my savings account that was dwindling. I was staying up late, waking up early, just searching job boards, trying to continue to volunteer in the liberty movement. And at the end of that 6 months, I did find a amazing job working at the law firm you mentioned earlier, where I'm still to this day working. And one of the things that I realized about a year ago, actually right before the COVID crisis really got going, was during those 6 months, I found a lot of resources. And they're not on LinkedIn. They're not on Indeed. They are hidden in the far reaches of the internet and across all these different boards that are relatively difficult to find. And that was the birth of this project, the Work for Liberty book and community, to pull those together, get it in one place, and hopefully no one will have to spend 6 months looking for a job. If I can cut that down to a few months or a few weeks or days to start applying to things that actually matter, that's what I'm going to consider to be a huge success in this project. I want to see more people working for liberty full time.
Awesome. So, I mean, it took you a while to find something. Is there really a big market out there, or is it just like, is there a lot, but it's hidden? What do you think is like the realistic expectation of everybody in the liberty movement being able to find something to this end?
Well, what I can tell you right now is I have a resource guide that is available in this book and also available for free in the Discord community that is hundreds of organizations and thousands of jobs available right now. One of the biggest things that I want people to understand as well, it's a common misconception that if you want to work for the liberty movement and the ideas of liberty, that you have to be a policy wonk, right? You're going to be sitting there writing white papers and struggling right. and sitting at a desk, and it's going to be terrible, right? Not all of us are policy wonks. I could not do that. It's not my passion. What I want people to know is that the liberty movement in a big tent sense is full of law firms, think tanks, advocacy organizations, grassroots groups, tech companies, data companies, and they need everything that every other company needs. They need leaders, they need HR professionals, they need just people who are good at social media, video editors, they need people who can sit down and put together a podcast, they need people who can get on TV and talk about their missions, they need people to simply answer the phones or knock on doors. Just because you don't have a PhD in economics doesn't mean that you're out of luck. And those are the jobs that we're posting every single day in our community to help people get employed. Because as you said, I mean, you shouldn't have to waste your time, right? When you think about 40 hours a week for 20 years or however long you plan on working, that's a lot of time to do something that you hate. And I really want people to be able to pursue their purpose.
So, and just to catch everybody up, if you want to look at this book, the links are in the video description, or they're in the podcast description. But we're going to show, we've got a one sheet we'll show you that's got some good info on it too in a minute. So we've got a mutual friend, and he was talking about some of these jobs, and he's like, man, I would really love to jump right in, but he's also kind of concerned about what kind of job experience. And at the same time, you mentioned things like answering phones and I don't want to say answering phones takes no skill, but like, are there a lot of entry level opportunities that, especially that aren't, they're not internships, they're still going to pay, they're going to pay well, that maybe there's an opportunity to get some job training and learn without any type of prior skills? Or do you need specific skills for most of these ahead of time? What's that look like?
I'm so glad that you asked that, because it's a really common question. And one of the things that we identified really early in this community was, we have just over 200 people in there right now in this Discord server. And the early adopters who jumped in the first couple of days of it existing started asking for training resources, because they said, hey, how do I get qualified to be a communications director, to be a director of development? And we actually have set aside an entire channel and an entire tool set in the Discord. And there's also a section in the book about this. But there are many opportunities to get educated. And because really, even if you are already a working professional for Liberty, I can tell you, I plugged into a 4-hour class last night through the Leadership Institute that was about working in the communications world, simply because I wanted to get a little bit better. And these organizations like the Leadership Institute, like the Atlas Network, offer amazing training resources, many of them for free, where you can sit down, network with other people. During the COVID era, it's even easier because all of these are digital. You don't need to be in DC or wherever they're normally hosting these in person. But if you are working in a job like in the trades and banking and finance and anything that's not Liberty related, many of those skill sets are still needed. But if you're looking for something that you don't have experience in now, there are many, many training resources. And one of the first things that you get when you step into this server is a message from me saying, hey, let me know what you're interested in. And if it's training, I'm going to send you a whole list of stuff that is just ways that you can get involved and get educated to fight for liberty.
Awesome. Yeah. And I mean, something else that you said too is when you lost your job and you made a promise to yourself, that's like, this is something I know a lot of people are missing. And it's really just a level of commitment, of staying committed to an idea. Because, you know, you can say like, okay, so there's this opportunity out there. Yeah, it sounds nice, but I don't know if I can do it. And I don't, you know, all these like self-doubt questions start popping up in your head. Is it going to work? Should I really quit my job? You have to come to a point where you say, I have to make this work. And you know, I've come to that point so many different times in my life where it's not, okay, I'm going to try this and see if it happens. I have to make this work. And when you have that level of, I mean, just that kind of commitment alone to yourself really forces you to drive yourself to actually make it happen. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, yeah, maybe that's above your capability or something else, you can't think like that. You have to understand. I mean, like, look at everything that I do. If you're listening to this show, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I'm involved in a lot of stuff. I do a lot of stuff. I'm just an ordinary guy. There's really nothing special about me. I don't have superpowers. I don't have more than 24 hours in a day. I got to where I am by telling myself, I have to do this. I have to make this happen. And if this sounds interesting to you and this sounds like something you want to pursue, you really just have to make that promise to yourself. And when you make that commitment, you're going to push yourself and you're going to realize, hey, you're actually capable of doing this. Because I honestly have no doubt in my mind. I mean, look, I'm a software engineer at a pretty big company, and I never even graduated college. I learned, you know, kind of the methods that Connor is talking about for learning communications and some of these other things. That's the same way I learned programming and some of these other things that I do, video editing. And I've had a career in video editing and software development, web development, all this stuff. You are absolutely capable of doing it. And I get it. Sometimes you just need a little bit of a push or a little bit of a point in a direction. But I think that's exactly what Connor is presenting right here. So if you're interested in this, and no, I know this is starting to sound like an infomercial, and I'm not getting paid to say this, and this is a free resource too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the book, you know, there is a book that is available for sale on Amazon, but quite frankly, if you log into the Discord and you join us, I'll send you a PDF. I'm not in this to make money. Truly, I still think that there is a selfish motivation here for me. And that's that I recognize that there are not enough people working for liberty. And I am selfish enough to want a few more allies. I'm tired of going out into the world and seeing that there's not enough liberty. I think we can all agree the world could use a little bit more liberty right now. And damn it, I want people out there who are qualified, educated, because when I go to these conferences and I'm stuck talking to another person who doesn't care about liberty, when I know their job could be done by someone who has a passion for liberty and making the world a little bit more free, that means something to me. And it's incredibly valuable to see this kind of success, because so often when I do find the people who care about liberty, they do get to that point in the conversation where we're talking about their volunteer opportunities. We're talking about what they care about liberty. And when I ask them what they do, just the energy goes out of their voice and it breaks my heart. It kills me to hear people drop off because they're not doing what they love. The liberty movement should be a movement that lifts each other up, that makes ourselves a little bit better. And I can't tell you how thankful I am for what you just said about going through difficult times and reaching these, what feels like dead ends in our lives, right? Where we're in a job we hate, we're in a relationship that doesn't work, we're doing something that doesn't feel right. And one of the best things that someone like you can do is actually just be honest about your struggles, because you're not alone. If you're out there thinking things are really rough, you are not alone. There are communities of people who care about liberty. There are communities of people who care about your issue. It's just a matter of finding them. And those resources are going to be there to push you to the next level. And God, I really hope that no one has to get laid off in order to find that, right? That's part of this goal. But I don't think I've ever been more thankful for that day where I walked out and I didn't have a paycheck, because it did force me to confront some really important moments in my own life, and it's led to some wonderful things.
Right. What do they say? Necessity is the mother of all invention, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you think about it, it's just motivation. Cause I mean, I've got two similar stories, that I would say. One is, you know, when I was maybe in my early 20s and I was doing some freelance, video stuff and, you know, hopping around from gig to gig and not, you know, really struggling to get by. And at one point I still have this saved somewhere. It's my last dollar. It was like the last dollar I had to my name. And I was basically like, okay, never again. Like, so I was like, okay, something's got to change. And it wasn't even like I just said, okay, I'm going to quit one job and go somewhere else. It was really like I just started driving myself to do better because I was really doing the same thing. I was just becoming more active. And like when I made a little bit of money here, I didn't just like before, I would just stop and enjoy that for a couple of weeks until it was gone. And then, you know, but afterwards, when I kind of said never again, it was like, okay, I made some money. Instead of just burning this, you know, going out partying, I'm going to save this. And tomorrow I'm going to go out and get some more. And I continued on that pattern. And then I started, you know, learning to improve my skill set along the way so that when I went out to get money, I would be able to get more, you know, per hour, per job, per whatever. So that's necessity, right? It's a motivating factor. Yeah.
Can I ask what made that stick for you? Cause that's all what you just said. I mean, it's so important, right? I mean, it's easy to kind of get that money and then let it sit, but something made that lesson stick for you. I'm assuming, was it just sheer force of will or what was the change?
I think it was habit. I mean, yeah. Cause like, you know, like habits shape our entire existence. And I think, you know, once you get in the habit of doing something, like it really can take a lot to change that habit. And so kind of once you get in the habit and you start to learn this pattern of, you know, okay, it's Saturday. I don't have anything to do. Like my habit used to be, okay, I'm going to go out drinking. I'm going to call up my friends and go hang out, you know, and do whatever. But instead it became, okay, it's Saturday. I'm going to do something productive. And now whenever Saturday comes around, it's like, I don't even think like, okay, yeah, where can I go blow my money on booze tonight? It's what can I do productive? So I really think a lot of it has to do with just patterns and habits.
I love that.
And speaking of patterns, like I think the same thing is true because not just in terms of money and jobs, but myself, when I really said, you know what, fuck this system, I'm going to get involved politically, I wanted nothing to do with politics. But at some point, there was just always like, man, this is really screwed up. The government keeps robbing me. I was wrongfully arrested a couple times. All this stuff was going on, and I was just like, this isn't right. I need to change. I need to do something about this. Like, I would see my friends who, like, I'd get stopped at a traffic stop, myself and one of my black friends, and just see a police officer treat them totally different. And like, it's like right in front of me. And like, to a certain point, it's like, you just get to that breaking point and you're like, I can't stand for this shit anymore. And it's kind of that same habit, right? You get to that point of necessity. It becomes a necessity. Something's got to change. And so you make a decision at that point that you are now going to, spend your time fighting this. And, you know, just like, okay, I lost my job. I need money. Something has to change. I just got my ass kicked by a cop. Something has to change. And I meet so many people in the liberty movement who it's the same thing. And this is something I've struggled with all the time because, you know, you meet the normies and you're like, yeah, we need to reform the criminal justice system. And they're like, why? What's so wrong with that? Oh, well, I was illegally arrested. Oh, well, you were probably just doing something wrong. The cop was probably right. You know, like we hear this stuff all the time, and it's not until you get your own ass kicked that you realize, oh shit, something's got to change. It's not until CPS comes to your house and takes your kids away when you weren't abusing them that you realize, holy shit, this system is screwed up. And it's unfortunate, but at the same time, like, that's, there's so many people in the liberty movement that decided that's when I'm going to get involved. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I guess the point we were talking about is, how do we create that change of necessity without having to get to that breaking point? But I think the breaking point has a greater lasting, more lasting impact on that change. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to see everybody suffer that before they'd say this is wrong and we have to change this.
For sure.
Yeah, so that's a difficult one.
Well, there's, I mean, we're in a unique time right now, right? I mean, 2020 is such a, it's a struggle, right? I think that's one of the first things that we said on here was 2020 is a struggle. People are hurting. And when my wife and I talk about, you know, the changing nature of our own minds and how we grow as people, we normally call it cracking, right? Like these moments of clarity where you realize something maybe in your own mind is a little bit different than the way you thought it was before. And whether that's, you know, getting beat up by a cop or getting profiled or, you know, just seeing your community fracture in a way that you didn't expect, these moments of cracking that are happening right now in American society, I'm optimistic enough to think that it is a wake-up call for a number of people to say, hey, there are some problems out there related to liberty that need to be fixed, right? We've moved away from our constitutional principles. We've moved away from the image of our founders in this country. And we think that there's something better, or we see that the change is moving in a negative direction. Now, obviously, at that point, there's this moment where we can either do something or decide that it's not worth the fight. And that's really just a battle of marketing. If there's one thing that the ideological right and the ideological left do much better than the nonpartisan idea of liberty, it's marketing. It's one thing that I'm very passionate about is when we get out there and we talk to people, it's not about, no one would be interested if I said, hey guys, have you heard about the number of books that I've sold and the number of pages? No, what you care about is the stories about our mutual friend Zach and these other people in this community who are in there and they are improving their lives. It's human stories that are going to make the difference. And if we can win the battle of ideas by showing these amazing examples of entrepreneurs and creative people who have taken liberty and run with it and created something and made lives better, not just their own lives, but their communities better through voluntary association and voluntary exchange, that's how we're going to win this battle. And it's my hope that this book can do that to a certain extent by putting people into a community where they can share these stories, where they can learn that they are not alone and we can build something better together. We don't have to be on islands. And I know that we get this thing in the liberty movement where we have this idea of rugged individualism, which is wonderful and accurate. But one of the things that's often lost in that narrative is the importance of coming together to build great things, not because you have a gun to your head, but because you want to.
Right.
How powerful is that when we can build amazing things because we actually want to be there? And that's possible and it's happening. If you're not seeing it, obviously I want to plug my community, but I know for a fact that there are other communities out there you can plug into. Find the one that's best for you and realize that you're not alone out there.
Right. Yeah, that's right on. And this is something I've been talking a lot about lately too, is, you know, a lot of people, myself included, you know, you get to this, like, you learn about the Libertarian Party and you're like, oh, I'm going to run for office. And you know, I know so many libertarians like that. They're going to run for office. They're going to run these campaigns. And then they're going to be like, oh, I lost. They're going to disappear. Like, oh, that was a total failure. I'm never going to try again. But what's interesting is, like, everybody in this circle seems to think that the Libertarian Party is the only way to make change, as if the world is run by the Democrats and the Republicans, when in reality, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, while they are big, powerful organizations, they are not powerful because of those organizations themselves. They are powerful because of the special interest groups that they're partnered with. And I almost want to liken some of these organizations you're talking about to special interest groups that are liberty oriented. I mean, you've got Normal, which is the big cannabis one. You've got things like ACLU, which I know they're not 100% libertarian, The same could be said about Reason Magazine, which is it's a magazine. I don't know. I hear they do some freelancing. I don't know if they have like full-time staff or whatever. I'm sure they have.
They do. We actually just helped two people apply for Reason internships just 2 days ago.
Nice.
There's one of their deadlines just passed, but there's other deadlines coming up. Yeah, working for Reason. I want to say real quick while you're there too, is that even if you love your job and you're a lawyer or a contractor or working in a job that's not working for Liberty, you are 100% right that the power structure really does lie with the people, and you can be an amazing ambassador for Liberty wherever you are, right? Working for Liberty full-time is not for everyone. Obviously, this resource is to help those who want to make that step and just don't know how, but there are also just great education resources in the Discord and just out there in the world where you can just learn how to talk about Liberty more competently. And so when you're in a conversation at the bank or at the law firm or on the job site, when someone says, man, I'm really upset, man, did you see my paycheck? You could say, hey, guess what? Taxation is what, right? I mean, and you start a conversation with a real human being instead of sitting there thinking in your head, I want to talk about this, I care about this, but I'm worried I'm going to do it wrong. There's so many different sides to this, but you can live in liberty in so many different ways.
Absolutely. So I want to pop over. I've got your PDF up here. Work for Liberty. Resource guide for finding employment in the Liberty Movement. The job search, tips, tricks, and resources. I guess I'll just read this. I wrote this book because maybe you should read it. You wrote this book.
<That's good. laughs>
Because I should be book. Getting paid.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, this book exists because you should be getting paid to work for Liberty. That's the bottom line. If that's something that you want, those opportunities exist. And I can go through this, you can go through this, but from the 30,000 foot view, the tools in someone's tool belt, that's what's going to make the difference. And instead of spending 6 months tracking this stuff down across the internet, jump in the Discord and realize that we got hundreds of people together working to help you get that job.
What is discord.gg? I mean, I figured that's their short URL, but what is .gg? I've never seen that before.
You know, I'm not sure. It's so Discord works on like an invite .giggity-giggity. System. Yeah. So the only thing I can think of is Discord is like a Slack for those of you who haven't used it before, but it was invented by gamers so that they could collaboratively chat. It's like Slack, but it has voice capabilities, video capabilities. So in gaming, I'm not a big gamer, but GG is good game, right? So I'd like to think that discord.gg is good game, right? And that is an invite that will never expire to the community.
Awesome. Man, and I feel like don't tell my boss this, but I feel like I want to take a peek in there and see, because I mean it's, and I know I've got my own Liberty projects I'm working on, a ton of them, but yeah, it would be so much more, I think, fulfilling at this point to be working in that industry.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of thing, but you know, for tech people, right? You said you work in with computers and in design. Just, I brought up the Discord right now. We've posted in the last week a front-end web developer, an IT support specialist. We've an applications administrator, another IT support specialist, two different web product managers. Like when I talk about there being this huge diversity of jobs, I really mean there's a huge diversity of jobs to the point where we had to build, you know, 10 different channels just so people didn't get spammed with all of these links that are coming out every day. It exists.
Is Pirate Bay hiring?
You're good. I got to start expanding my searches too. I mean, that's it's built to be a collaborative platform. So I do a lot of job posting every day, right? I go through my searches and my portals, but one of the most rewarding parts of this thing is I'm no longer posting all the jobs. We got people in there every day who, when they see something, they copy the link and they drop it in. And that is really what the community aspect of this is all about, is nice. Someone say, oh, hey, this is a job at my organization, or, hey, this is an, we've had a couple exclusive jobs already posted in the Discord. They don't exist elsewhere because organizations are interested in our talent pool and interested in getting people who are aligned with their missions. And this is one way that we're going to help Liberty win, is by putting the right people in the right place at the right time.
Right. And so now, how long has this Discord been up? Less than a year.
Just about a month.
Really?
So 34 wow. days. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And we're just getting started. It's still at the beginning.
That's amazing. That's amazing progress in the first month. Awesome, man.
It's good people. It's exciting, right? You get to have good people around. People want to talk about Liberty. I think it's because of what we were talking about earlier. When people talk about their jobs, they're not doing it with energy, because it's an American crisis that, right? It's a national joke. Mondays, am I right? And it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, exactly. Spend all day at the water cooler. it really is interesting. And you know, what's even, and this has been like the kick I've been on for a while, you know, talking about our most valuable resource is our time, and it's the system that we live in, right? Like if you look at you know, when whatever his name was inventing penicillin, like he wasn't working 40 hours a week. Like people this is a recent invention. And it came about by you know, this boom in production, where all of a sudden we needed to fill factories and we needed massive output of the production of these things, and we've transitioned into this because there is it's that push of necessity on us, right? So like, you know, I talked about my last dollar. You talked about you lost your job and we need an income. You had to pay your mortgage. I had to pay my rent. This is what really puts a fire under our ass to say, oh my God, I better get out there and make that dollar today, right? But what's interesting is the source of that. I've recently been pushing the idea that the whole source of that is not the whole idea of there's no such thing as a free lunch, which is true. The source of that comes from the fact that our land, our inheritance, our, you know, everything is being taxed from us. And so whereas 100 years ago, we might have been able to go into town and work for a couple of weeks and save enough money to get by for months or years, that doesn't happen anymore. It is now a necessity of life to have a job. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to pay the king his tax, and you have to pay it with his money, and you can only get his money if you get a job. And ultimately, the government, through taxation, taxes every single dollar out of the entire economy, so that the only way to get the money back from the government back into the economy is to work for the government. So you're working for a corporation, but that corporation's working for the government, or they're taking subsidies, or, you know, whatever. There's a million different ways they inject this money back in, but that's part of this whole system. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum, because on one hand, if we get rid of this whole system of taxation, it would be great because there's no theft. But on the other hand, there's no fire under our ass to get out there and work strong, work competitively, produce these amazing things, so that we can have better lives. But at the same time, there's no motivation to get out there and fight the government, because there's no government that's like kicking your door down saying, hey, come on, fight me. So it's kind of an interesting paradox. But it's, you know, at the same time, it's like, yeah, we still do need to fix that problem. Yes, people will be less motivated to work. But at the same time, it's like, would you rather live with a few less luxuries, because technology isn't advancing so fast, a few less luxuries, excuse me, a few fewer luxuries, I've become the English Nazi, grammar Nazi, correcting people on Facebook.
Yeah,
all
you're the
time.
Stannis Baratheon of the Liberty Movement right now. Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down. That's good.
But it's like, so yeah, we life might have a few fewer luxuries. We're not going to go back in time. We're not going to have less than we have now.
Right.
But we're going to have a lot more freedom. And I think that's, I know I'm totally going off of like the, off of a tangent of the whole purpose of this conversation, but.
No. Dan, pro taxation, that's, you're changing it.
No.
Right?
Believe
that's,
me, I'm not pro taxation at all. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Well, I mean, I guess the counterpoint, right? Like I'll be the Dan in this situation then, right?
Mm-hmm.
People were struggling long before we had an income tax in this country. And we still built amazing things and we built amazing companies and we built amazing products and we were still working. You know, if anything, life is difficult. We don't live in a perfect system and we're never, the element of randomness is always going to be present. It's one of the reasons why a centrally planned economy couldn't work, because random things are always going to happen. And a planned economy is just going to be that much slower to respond to them, right? So when we talk about jobs in the Liberty Movement and we talk about making these amazing strides, you know, a perfect situation, the, you know, the Dan designed world that we're talking about where there is no taxation, we're still going to have a ton of problems. But I'm of the opinion, at least, that when we allow people to get out there and fix them with their free will and their ingenuity, we're just going to fix them faster.
Yeah.
These problems are going to get fixed. We don't like to live in discomfort as humans. And man, we can be real smart when we put our minds to it, right? We can get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's still plenty to do. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that, too, is like with this whole coronavirus thing, like I'm thinking, you know, to what you said about a centrally planned economy, which is essentially what people are waiting for, right? I want the government to tell me where I'm supposed to work from and how I'm supposed to get my paycheck. And if I can't go to work, then the government has to send me money anyway. And, you know, all these things. That's kind of what we've become. And this is a complete disaster. People are getting evicted, right? Because they decided, hey, we're going to shut down all these jobs over here. And this is interesting, because they want to shut down businesses where people work. But when somebody's renting their house or an apartment building to you, that's also a business. And so you've got the individual in the middle between one business, the money's supposed to go from this business to the individual to this other business, and they're shutting down this one, so you have no income, but they're not shutting down this one, so you still have to keep paying them. And not just the business of the renters, the renting companies, but, you know, some of them are small businesses. It's a mom and pop with a bank that, you know, they're not shutting down the bank that's collecting the mortgage, and they're not shutting down the government that's collecting the property tax. So it's really, I mean, talk about screwing people over. And then, oh, we're going to send you a stimulus check. So thank us. Thank us for keeping you afloat, even though we're the ones who fucked everything up for you. It really is. I mean, I guess the older you get, the more true becomes the expression, the government will happily break your legs and sell you crutches.
Very true. Man, it's heartbreaking. I mean, So like community wise, right? I mean, when I see my neighbors, right? I live in a neighborhood, got neighbors on both sides. And when I talk to them, it's about, hey, how's your family doing? How's your brother who lost his job? What's going on? I found that the conversations that have happened during COVID are changed, and they're in some ways they're more personal, and how we frame up that self narrative of who we are as a nation is going to be so important for where we go from here, because otherwise you and I are right. That bunker in Mexico just keeps looking more and more attractive for those of us who think about wanting to support our neighbors, wanting to support our family, wanting to see them succeed, wanting to give them every opportunity to win, and seeing the forces that be really handicap them again and again and again. you have to wonder where it ends. And, you know, what, Margaret Thatcher had it right. At some point you run out of other people's money. And Ayn Rand had it right as well when she said, you know, at some point those who produce are gonna withdraw their support from society. And what are you left with? You're left with a lot of people who are even worse off at the end of the day, and those elite few who have lined their pockets along the way. It's an incredibly frustrating situation, but I'm an optimist in that I truly believe we're gonna see better days, because we have to. People are too smart. People have this base knowledge of right and wrong, in my opinion. And I do think that we're gonna see better times to come.
All right. Let them eat Bitcoin.
Exactly. I love that. It's absolutely
not,
love
not
that.
Very filling. yeah, no, that is interesting. So it's going to be interesting to see where we go. But, you know, back to the point about motivation, I think what's interesting, and you might talk to like sports coaches and you know, these types of people, and you might find something a little bit different, where you don't have to get your ass kicked before you say, hey, something's got to change. You might just need to find your own motivation and find out what is really going to get you motivated to commit to some sort of change like this, to getting involved in a certain way. And it's, you know, it's a marathon. Like, you've got to be prepared for that. Like, you know, it's the same thing with people who run for some local office and they lose, they fail miserably. And then they're like, well, I'm never wasting my time and money on that again. No, like, you learned. So now do it again. And you're going to do it so much better because of everything that you learned.
Absolutely.
But you've got to find that motivation.
Can I jump? Can I say something about that motivation?
No.
Real quick. You're good. one of the things that I talk about in the book, and this is something I work with students in the class that I teach with a lot. I don't know about you. I know you said you didn't graduate. And one of the reasons for that, in my totally uneducated guess, is that they weren't giving you what you needed to be successful. Right. I mean, they, the tools that I received in my undergraduate education were really theoretical. They weren't practical in many ways. And one of the tools that is included in the book, again, is a concept called Ikigai, I-K-I-G-A-I. And it's a Japanese phrase, generally it's Okinawan here, that is four overlapping circles in a Venn diagram. And Ikigai means a reason for being. And in the four circles are what we love, what we're good at, what we can get paid for, and what the world needs. I see you typing. If you have that up on Google, Ikigai, to share, this is the tool that I wish that I had years earlier than I knew it existed. Because it's not just a realization that, hey, I'm getting paid a ton of money, but I'm not doing what I love. It's not just an analytical tool. It's a really personal tool to help you identify what's going on and how do you make it better, right? We're trying to move toward the center of that circle, or the center of those overlapping circles, toward our reason for being, toward that purpose. And one of the things you might find is, hey, there are certain areas of liberty. There's certain areas of my life that I really love, but they're not making me any money. Identify those pain points, because the pain points is where the learning is, and it's where you're going to find the real benefit to making your life that much better.
Right on. Yeah, and I am Googling this. I'm going to try to bring this up over here. Yeah, these are all, man, Venn diagrams, I always just like to stare at them and like really study them, even if it's some ridiculous meme Venn diagram. I don't know why.
Sometimes those are the most helpful.
Yeah. They're fascinating. What you can be paid for and what the world needs is your vocation. That's great. What you love and what the world needs is your mission. I'm thinking personally, for me, what I love is fighting the government, and what the world needs is fighting the government. And that is my mission. So theoretically, if you can find something that intersects all four of these, well, let's see. Right now I'm kind of in this, they don't have a name on this part, but between what you're good at, what you love, and what the world needs is no more government. I'm just missing the part. How do you get paid for that? But I guess that's, I got to check out your resources on that. Maybe that'll put me right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, it's not, hey, you know what? It's nice to feel that you got 3 out of 4, right? I mean, that's headed in the right direction. And arguably, you've already found the ones that are probably the hardest. A lot of people struggle with purpose and ikigai as a reason for being generally, because it's a challenging experiment to say, hey, what does the world need? What do I actually love, right? I mean, those ones don't come easy, and probably really important for people to know too is that they change. Purpose is an evolving thing, and the purpose I had when I was 14 is a heck of a lot different than it is now at 30. That's a different world, and being willing to revisit this chart as an analytical tool can make a difference over the course of years to make sure that you're continuing to find value in your life and in your work.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, what you're good at can change over time as you learn new skills, as you have more experience. And I mean, these are things I'm getting good at things I never thought I would be good at. And it's really got less to do with me going out and trying to learn those skills and just kind of like coincidence of my life experiences. And then, you know, once you realize you're starting to get good at that, then you might start looking for resources to improve that. What the world needs is always going to change because the world is always changing. What you can get paid for is always changing because the economy is always changing and all these other things. And of course what you love, what you love doing, you know, you might get bored of something or find something that's even better, mm-hmm. more enjoyable. So yeah, I could see all these changing all the time. So this is really awesome. I gotta print this out and stick this on my cork board over here.
Absolutely. Well, I hope it's helpful. Yeah, it's a tool that I wish I had a long time ago, because I worked a lot of jobs that I didn't enjoy. And that's something I wouldn't wish on anyone. There's just, as you said, you can't get time back. And right. The sooner we can get people in a position where they're happy, healthy, doing what the world needs and what they can get paid for, man, that would be a huge win.
Right. And this is so interesting too, because I'm probably going to go off on a tangent here, but like, you know, we always talk about, you know, what's going to happen if we all lose our jobs? And this kind of goes back to my thing about, well, yeah, but the government's forcing us to have jobs. But I think this is like an interesting side effect of that is most of the jobs suck. Most of the jobs actually could be replaced by automation if we really wanted to. Mm-hmm. Like nobody's like, oh, I can't wait to get to McDonald's and flip my burgers today. Like, nobody. And yeah, you've got some master chefs who probably like enjoy like, you know, what they're doing, but you know, there are a lot of jobs that really just suck and nobody wants to do. Nobody enjoys doing it. There's not good money in it. You get treated like crap. And if we could eliminate those jobs and replace them with automation, that would be wonderful, except for the fact that we still have to fall back on this, but what am I going to do without a job? Right. And you know, this kind of presents an interesting opportunity, because what if, you know, there's that question, what would you have to do if you didn't have to work, right? Or what if you had $1 million and you didn't have to work, what would you do? And some people would say, oh, I'd sit around and play video games all day. You might, but you might get bored of that after a while too. And maybe that turns into you want to learn how to start making video games, or you want to start creating, you want to start doing something that's more than just existing. there is that motivation, and there is that drive. And I think it still goes back to, you know, we've got to find that within ourselves. We have to find out what that is. But if we can eliminate a lot of these jobs that are, you know, we're talking about truck drivers being replaced with these automatic, you know, trucks that'll take all these trucks cross country. That's, I don't know how many truck drivers there are in the country. I would have to guess, should I say 1 million? You think there's 1 million of them?
I bet there's a million out of 330 million people. It's got to be up there.
There's about 1 million law enforcement officers. I know that one. Or actually, I think it's closer to 1.2. There's 600,000 sheriffs and 600,000 police. I had to look that up recently.
Interesting.
So you figure if they're all out there giving tickets, there's got to be at least that many truck drivers, right?
Yeah. You hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I get it. Like, people are going to be like, I depend on this job. I have to pay my mortgage. I have to pay my rent. I have to support my family. But at the same time, do you really enjoy doing that? Or do you just need the money? And what if you didn't need the money? Would you still keep doing that? And I think that's really important for us to look at, because we can. And I know this is like a socialist dream. I shouldn't have to work. Well, if the government weren't robbing you every day, you really wouldn't have to work anywhere near as much. I mean, I think this is a great analogy for to put that into perspective, is if one farmer can work a 40-hour week and produce enough food for 100,000 people, then if 99,000 people who live next door are unemployed, what's the problem?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a distribution problem. It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. We solve that now with money. He wants your money, so you got to go out and get a job. But it's like, if that didn't exist, well, if he can't sell his food, he can't farm the whole thing. So maybe he's going to give up, you know, pieces of his farm and, you know, let little families move into those areas. Like, whatever. Like, I don't want to try to come up with, like, what the answer is to that. And I think this is part of the libertarian, another libertarian paradox. We're against central planning. So when people ask us who would build the roads, they want us to come up with an example that would, but it's like, as soon as we say, like, oh, that's how you would do it, well, that's central planning again. Like, we're saying, oh, like, you could throw out options and say, well, maybe it'll be like this, maybe it'll be like that. The whole point is that we don't want to force people to live a certain way. Maybe one city would build the roads one way and another city would do it another way. Yeah, it's, man, the libertarian paradox.
You know, if there's another book that I would recommend to your listeners here, it's Henry Hazlitt, Economics in One Lesson. I had never read it before. I'm about halfway through right now, reading it actually as part of a program that I'm working up in Connecticut, just getting together with people and talking about these ideas and engaging with these ideas. But he talks about these problems, and he talks about them in such an understandable way. It's one of those things that I've walked away from every chapter saying, man, you know, these are the words that I wish I had to talk about economics and fix these problems. These great minds are, and you know what it says on the back? Libertarian economic thinker, right? It's talking my language. And for so many of your listeners, I'm sure it would help be a great tool for people who, whether you're working for Liberty full-time or working for Liberty while doing something totally different, when that conversation comes up in the law firm or the construction site, wherever you're working, Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt is a book that can put the tools in your tool belt to speak a little more competently about the way that the world works and overcome some of these really messy common misunderstandings about economics, which unfortunately are driving the ship in so many ways right now.
Yeah. And I know I have a copy of that book somewhere and I haven't read it for some reason. It's like on the stack of to-dos.
You should do it chapter by chapter with your audience. I'm sure that you could change lives, just talking about it chapter by chapter. 'Cause I mean, I have been, It's during COVID, it's been great. I've been reading more, but this is one where you wouldn't think an economics book. I'm like up late. I'm putting the light on, the reading light, and like trying to get through another chapter because it's a really incredible book for anyone to read.
Awesome. That's not a bad idea. That might bring some new perspective. I just looked this number up, by the way. In 2016, there were 711,000 truck drivers.
Oh, wow.
The number of employer and self-employed non-employer trucking businesses reached 711,000.
Interesting.
What does that say about the number of truckers? This is from the U.S. Census, by the way, so leave it to them to make things absolutely confusing about what a simple number means. Anyways. All right, well, we've been plugging your book the whole show, but usually at the end of the show, I give my guests an opportunity to plug whatever they want. So if you have anything else you wanna plug, name drop, go for it.
Yeah, the floor is yours. I appreciate that. Thanks. You can find more of my writing at connerdrigotas.com, ConnerDrigotas.com. That's where you find all my op-eds, find the book, find videos. I'm sure this YouTube link will be up on there as well. And you can find me at CDDrigotas on all social media.
Awesome. And of course, if you're listening to this on Facebook or YouTube, live or not, make sure to comment and share. Introduce your friends to some of these ideas. I know I wasn't paying attention to the comments today. Sexy hat, brother. Yeah, nice. Thank you. I'm just checking to make sure I didn't miss any questions over here. Reduce the number of dumb policies that don't help anyone. More money to the middle class. We work so hard. We deserve more than those who don't.
I think we have like 4 or 5 policy positions currently posted for whoever wrote that. They'd be a great fit. That's good.
Awesome. That was Jace Allen. Jace, I'll send you a comment after this, but definitely go check out this information. So make sure you share these videos, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you listen to podcasts, make sure you go to your favorite podcast listing and look for Taxation is Theft. I think we're the only Taxation is Theft podcast, but you can look for my big black and yellow Taxation is Theft. And make sure you head over to taxationistheft.info and support us by getting one of these sexiest hats in the world right here. I almost forgot to mention this thing over here. If you noticed this thing, I have to remind you, it is not an AR-15, even though it has kind of resembles the shape of a piece of metal that's highly regulated by the government. Go to the link in this video and you can win this. It's the amazing Opener 3000. It will open anything, jars and cans and bottles and doors and safes and cars and all that stuff. Go check it out. All right, guys, until next time, Taxation is Theft. I'll catch you later.